would be a fun tournament to do someday. Jade's like Pixar animated movies. Just do a bracket and set them up, see who wins, like Toy Story or Monsters, Inc. The reason we're talking, like, when you're sick, I always think that when I'm sick, Jade's, I'm going to stay home and watch movies all day. Like, that's what you think, you know, you fantasize about that. Because my wife's like, you're sick, you know, rest, you're fine, I'll take care of the kiddo. So you just go rest, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to catch up on TV shows. And but you have zero interest, with me at least. I was, like, so out of it, the idea of focusing on a storyline and that stuff was crazy. So you want to know what I ended up watching?
What'd you watch?
There's a channel we get, like TV Plus. It's like a free network or what. I don't know what the hell it is. It just pops up on our TV. And there's a Bob Ross channel. The painter? Yeah. That's all I could watch. I just watched Bob Ross paint beautiful pictures. No? No, you're not a Bob Ross guy? You don't like watching a dude just paint little friendly, happy trees all over the place?
I never understood the hype. My friends were always like, oh, Bob Ross this, Bob Ross that. I had friends that were Bob Ross for Halloween. But I never enjoyed it. I don't like
it's
the way
just
he talks.
Really relaxing.
He like whispers. It's gross.
Because he's painting.
It's creepy.
He's not going to be like, hey, here's the tree.
Yeah, but I want him to, so hey guys, here's the tree.
It's a, you know, we're going to paint a little green tree like
that. See, that's creepy.
Like that right there.
It's like ASMR.
You make your own tree. I don't care. It's your tree. It's no. Your world. I'm just living in it.
I went to Chiba Hut one day, and they were playing Bob Ross.
There is a demographic of people that enjoy the Chiba Hut stuff, if you know what I mean, that like to sit and mellow out and watch Bob Ross. And, like, right now, I don't want to go home and watch Bob Ross. But I couldn't retain a storyline. My wife and I tried to watch Stranger Things, because we're almost done, on Monday night. And I powered through one episode, and I'm like, I shouldn't have done that, because I was just ready for it to be over. I wasn't into it, because my brain is foggy, I'm sick, and blowing my nose every 4 seconds. So it was not there. So Bob Ross was like the only thing I could retain, because you didn't have to retain anything. And I suck at painting, so I'm not interested in painting, but for some reason it was on, and I'm like, I missed out, though, because Shark Week's next week. That would have been perfect for
me. Yeah, you missed it by a week.
Are you a Shark Week guy?
Oh, I love Shark Week.
Dude, but it's gotten worse over the years.
I don't really get into it, but like when I used to like watch a whole bunch of YouTube videos and stuff on it, and like I love Shark Week, and I like learning about like just...
I like the migration patterns and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's what's really cool is to see, you know... When COVID hit, they didn't have, or they had like a record-breaking amount of breaches with their great white sharks, because there were no boats, there were nobody out on the on the beaches or anything like that.
That's actually pretty cool.
So yeah, they had like a record amount of breaches, and that's like 90% of why you watch Shark Week, is to watch a great white shark jump out of the ocean,
right?
And that doesn't happen. Is a lot of people think that just happens all the time. These dudes that commit to that and are scientists or whatever, they're out there for days upon days, weeks upon weeks, months upon months, and they might only get one or two good shots that's just how hard it is to capture these things.
Their success rate is probably lower than a baseball player's.
Than Christian Brown's three-point percentage right now.
You didn't have to go there.
I didn't have to. Are you a believer in the Rockies? Are you jumping on that Good Morning NoCo Rockies bus, Jade? You've been more critical than me, even, I think. And you're more of a baseball guy.
Yeah, I see the trends, and I like where they're headed.
Can they
but...
do this with the pitching, though? Can they keep just... I mean, okay, let's go to these last few games. Where are we here? I'm trying to... Okay, the whole Padres series, you know, they were down 3-0, come back, make it 3-3. What was that on the Wednesday game, or the Tuesday game? And then they made it 6-3, then they made it 6-6, and then they end up winning 10-6. That's just offense coming up with it. I mean, it's just like it's never going to end. There's certain innings that they just go off. Can you sustain that? Can your pitching core really sustain that?
No, you said it exactly. It's not sustainable. And I think that's going to be the biggest problem, is the challenge between whether or not the offense can put up enough runs to cover the pitching staff's butt.
How's John Gray doing?
John Gray's been dealing. I picked him up on fantasy.
He's been rolling.
Yeah, he did really good last week.
So the Rockies should have kept him? Has he been rolling? Like, seriously? Like, what's his number? What's his number? What are his numbers looking like?
I'm not exactly sure. I know last week he got me a lot of points in fantasy, and that's what matters.
That's all that matters. We got a fantasy question I got to get to in a minute too. He's 6-4. His ERA is 3.7.
So not great. I don't know.
Not great, he's but
better than what we've got right now.
What do you got with the Rockies? I mean, what's the Rockies' best? What's their best pitcher? Who's their best statistical pitcher right now? Is it, who is it? Who is their best pitcher right now? As far as just, if you just want to go stats, Freeland probably, but he's been struggling. You look at his ERA, he's 4.9. John Gray's better than any pitcher on this Rocky staff right now. Is that right? Is that fair to say? So did they make a mistake not keeping John Gray? Should they have done more? Because he wanted to stay. Should they have done more to keep Gray? Because right now you have Freeland, Marquez, Chad Kuhl. Marquez has been up and down, mostly down. Freeland has been all right, but lately he's been struggling. He's 4-7. He's had some bad games. Chad Kuhl's been, his ERA is 4.1. But still, John Gray has better numbers than any of the starting pitchers for the Rockies.
I think someone who's been severely underrated has been Tyler Kinley. I mean, he has 20.
And he's been out for a while, too. Yeah. I think he's done for the year.
Yeah. He played 25 games, pitched 24. He had 21 hits, which isn't great. But he only gave up. He had only two earned runs in that span.
Yeah, but he's done. Yeah. He hasn't pitched in like a month.
And that's what sucks, is that you lost. I mean, your next best reliever is Randall Grichuk, who has one inning pitched. And his hero ERA.
I was like, are you being... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. He did.
Three up, three down.
You just can't have... Listen, we can get excited about this, but this is why... Okay, last year, the strength of this team was the pitching staff. They didn't have anything else. It wasn't working for them. But the strength was the pitching staff. Now, it's... I mean, could it get there? Could Chad Kuhl and Austin Gomber really take it up a notch and be consistently good pitchers? Maybe. The bullpen is depleted right now. Obviously, you have Daniel Bard, who's been sensational.
Well, and I think something that's worth noting is that Chad Kuhl has the lowest ERA of any of your starters, and his ERA is sitting at 4.11.
Well, and again, John Gray's better than all those guys.
Exactly. I mean, that's just atrocious.
Yeah.
Your team ERA is high fours.
Yeah. No, it's a scary time. I mean, listen, it's a fun time. It's good. Enjoy it. I told you, all I want for the Rockies is to get me through to, what is it, July 25th or whatever? Get me to training camp. And they almost got me there. So that's all I've ever asked of the Rockies. Because my expectations are never there. I'm never going to get on a Rockies bus and say that this team's going to be a playoff team. Even when they make it to the playoffs, I'm never going to say, oh, I predicted that. Not until I see differences in the pitching. You know, do I like what's happening with this group right now as far as the hitting is concerned? Absolutely. You can't look at this team and say it hasn't been fun. Jose Iglesias has been fun. CJ Cron, Charlie Blackmon has been on a different level right now. Connor Joe just finds a way to get to the base. Brendan Rodgers, Ryan McMahon's in a little bit of a slump right now. Randall Grichuk's playing well. They're all clicking. You know, the offense is clicking right now. But it's the age question about the Rockies is, can your pitching sustain? Can they hold up through this? Because there's going to, again, you see it, when the Rockies lose, it's just because they can't find the bats, and they're not going to outpitch anybody. So can they keep going down 3-0? Oh, boom, 3-3. Oh, they're back down 6-3. Boom, 6-6. That's great. And it'd be different if I like said, oh, CJ Cron, Charlie Blackmon, Connor Joe, Brendan Rodgers are household names when it comes to hitting. They're not. I mean, they're not. They're fine players right now. Like, who has the best batting average for the Rockies? I mean, Cron's sitting at .296. That's good, right? That's good. But other than that, you're .273, .264, .250, .240. Iglesias is at .304. So it just, they're not household names. So I'm not like, I don't believe on a nightly basis that this batting can hold up and carry you. Do I think that they're decent on the offensive side? Yeah, they're not one of the worst in the league. They're right there in the middle. But that's not good enough to overcome what we're seeing with spotty pitching. That's why I'm here to pump the brakes a little bit and say, if your hopes were that they're going to catch the Cardinals in the wild card race, I'm hopeful for it. Seven games, bro? That's how. How do you catch them with seven games? You're on the second half of the season already. I mean, I know the All-Star break is technically, we mark that as the first half is over, but the first half goes a little bit longer. So we are well into the second portion of the season, and the question is, you've got the rest of July after the All-Star break. You got, what, a week left of July? And then it's August and September. Basically 2 months. Let's just say 2 months. Can the Rockies catch up? Can they make up seven games in 2 months? Like I said to start the show, being back seven games can sometimes take 3 to 4 weeks, correct? Because, again, that's assuming you win every game, St. Louis loses every game. And there are all the teams that are in front of you, by the way. That's not to, you know, we're not even talking about, we're talking about St. Louis. There's five other teams that are standing in front of or in between the Cardinals and the Rockies. The Phillies, the Giants, the Marlins. So there's three teams just between the Cardinals. Now they're right behind the Marlins. They're close to the Giants. They're four games behind the Giants. They're five games behind the Phillies. And then seven games behind the Cardinals. But again, that's the thing. How long does it take to catch up in seven games? That can take 4 or 5 weeks. So we're saying you got a month to try to catch up, to try to close that gap. And that is assuming that your winning percentages is over 500 and their winning percentage is below 500 in the next 4 weeks. And so again, it's June. The June swoon probably just did too much damage to the Rockies, even if they turn this thing around. I'm not holding my breath. This is a 72-win team. This is a better team than they were last year. But it's 72 wins. They're not going to the wild card game. Don't get your hopes up there. You know what? The Cardinals have a three-game series starting up against Cincinnati tonight. They will probably, I don't know. Do they sweep that thing? They at least win the series there. So again, you've got yourself to a point where we're talking about you on July 15th. I actually think that's substantial. I do. I think that's a big thing. That's an exciting thing to talk about. But I'm not there for wild card. What needs to change, Jades? If you're Bill Schmidt, what do you got to do? Is it as simple as just saying we got to go out next year, and you have to find another starting pitcher? Because I will say, with Daniel Bard and Colomé has been decent, I'm not throwing all of this at the bullpen. Starting pitching just hasn't been as good as it was last year. If you could have last year's starting pitching paired with what you're seeing with the bats now, you might be sniffing. You might be sniffing a wild card spot. But losing John Gray was not colossal, but he would have been your best pitcher if you just put his numbers up against the rest. And the fact that Marquez hasn't delivered, and now you've got Kyle Freeland on the way down. So you're Bill Schmidt. What's the one move?
Well, the first thing you have to do is have your players stay healthy, but that's not something you can do. And honestly,
well, yeah, because if Kenley was healthy, then you might be feeling right. A little bit better about it. Who knows? Maybe that's a win or two better.
You lost your superstar for a month.
True. Like, you could be 4 or 5 wins better. You could be like three games out. Who knows?
Exactly. I mean, you lose your star player for a month. You assume that he brings a better bat into that lineup. The game. Who knows what would have happened? It's baseball. But I think I'm going to say the secret to the Rockies' success, and it doesn't start with Bill Schmidt. I mean, everyone listen in, because it's something you've never heard before. The Rockies need to spend money. They need to start spending money.
On the pitching staff.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah, I mean, you can't keep spending money on the stadium. I mean, the stadium, we love the stadium. The stadium is amazing, but we need to start putting a product on the field that can win.
But you have to, and again, I like this product when it comes to the bats. They're fun. But like, okay, is Connor Joe, I like him, but is Connor Joe the 5-year plan? Is CJ Crone the 5-year plan? We just want to talk about first baseman. I mean, there's been some guys that have been nice for a year or two at first base for the Rockies, and then they just are guys. They go away. I don't know if that's CJ Crone's fate. He's not a spring chicken necessarily.
Right.
Is Randall Grichuk and Chris Bryant? I mean, is that the 5-year plan, Chris Bryant? Sure.
I think Grichuk as well. I mean, you look at what he's done.
He's amazing in outfield, too.
Right.
I mean,
exactly. He's defensive war, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but it's got to be up there. And then he's been bringing a good bat, too. I mean, I liked him in Toronto when he was there.
But all that's well and good. They had Nolan Arenado. This team had Nolan, arguably one of the best third basemen ever, but a damn good hitter. And they couldn't win because what they didn't have the consistent pitching. Now, I thought they were on to something. A young John Gray, who's kind of a head case, but maybe getting it right. Kyle Freeland's coming up. He's young. They signed Marquez to the long deal, and I'm thinking, okay, keep John Gray. Just keep that intact. And then you'd be looking at Marquez, Freeland, John Gray, Chad Kuhl, and maybe Austin Gomber. I mean, that would be a pretty decent starting group.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just difficult. I mean, it's hard to grow pitchers in Colorado. I mean, you look at what the Cubs did with Jake Arrieta. He was struggling on a championship or a title contending Orioles team. They brought him into Chicago. He won a Cy Young. Chicago is a much easier place to grow a pitcher than it is in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, that's why you root for Freeland so hard, right? Because he's a Colorado guy, and you're like, dude, if you can. But he's been in a slump. Man, he looked pissed. He looked pissed coming out of that game yesterday.
Yeah.
He did not want to come out. He wanted to finish that inning.
And it's hard. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to be a pitcher on the Colorado Rockies because it's just, you're almost set up to fail. I mean,
but you root for Freeland hard because he gets it and he welcomes the challenge. He's outspoken about it. He's like, you can pitch here, you can do it. So I do. That's why I think Freeland's you feel it so much when he loses and struggles.
Right. Well, and I think that's kind of I feel like that could contribute to a lot of the lack of success, I guess, pitchers have had essentially. That it's a mindset. They come into Colorado and they're like, oh, it's Colorado. Like, I'm still going to try my best, but, like, there's nothing guaranteed.
Yeah. What was it, Shaq? I know it's basketball, but what was it Shaq used to say? Comes to Denver and he just commit two fouls early so he can go sit down.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't even want to mess with the altitude. I don't want to do it.
Same with hockey, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I mean, I've heard of and seen players commit penalties to go to the box
just so they can get a little break.
Right.
All right, let's get to it. We got to get to today in the NFL, Jades. We're not hitting the key stories necessarily, but we're hitting the AFC West. I do have some key stories that we're going to hit for you. But it's time to break into it. We're almost there, Jades. We are almost there. Can you taste it yet? And I know, we can, trust me, I could talk, average baseball all day long. But I'm ready to talk football. I'm ready to talk about this Denver Broncos team. The AFC West is going to be brutal. Talk about the NL West. How about the AFC West? It is going to be something else when you look at this thing going forward. Today I'm going to focus on the wide receiver core when it comes to all things AFC West. Now I've got the Broncos in my mind, and I'm going to put this out on my Deep Thoughts from Wandering Mind blog or write-up or whatever it is. And I've already got this. I've got the Broncos have the best running back group. The tight ends have the best, the Chiefs have the best tight end group. And I have the Raiders with the best. I'm looking at the Raiders thinking essentially that it's going to be the best wide receiver group. But let's break into it overall. The Broncos, you have guys that you believe in, you're excited about. But I still need to see them take the step forward. So let's bust into it. Who has the worst? Is it the Chiefs? Without Tyreek Hill, I mean, Travis Kelce, he's in the tight end category. The Chiefs win the best tight end because of Travis Kelce. It's unfair to put him in the wide receiver group, even though he's going to be producing like a wide receiver. So are the Chiefs, do they have, outside of Kelce, the worst wide receiver core in the AFC West?
I think it's between them or the Broncos. Because the Broncos, the Chiefs at least have some guys who have shown signs of brilliancy. The Broncos have guys who still need to prove it. I mean, they just don't have anyone.
Well, Cortland Sutton was on his way, and then he gets hurt and never got there.
Exactly.
Tim Patrick's formidable, but he's not like an elite type of receiver. And then Jerry Jeudy, we haven't seen it.
Right, and I think if you look at ceilings, I mean, I think it could go either way.
Ceilings, so Juju Smith-Schuster for the Chiefs, I mean, he could turn this out. I would say he's a decent wide receiver.
Right.
I'm not going to give him like a top 10, 15 type of deal. He's not elite. He's no replacement for Tyreek Hill. He was with Pittsburgh for a weird chunk of time, though, and that was during the, Ben Roethlisberger downtrend. I mean, Big Ben wasn't lighting it up to his receivers the last few years.
Juju was good for one season when he was a TikTok star.
Yes, exactly. That was probably his best season.
Exactly.
Or his last good season, I should say. Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is the interesting one. I watch a lot of NFL Network and stuff, and a lot of their talking heads are high on him.
He's been producing phenomenally in team camp.
And you know, if you look at his quantity, he's not getting his numbers aren't huge. He doesn't have a lot of catches last year. But it's what he's doing with those catches. So for him, it's quality versus quantity. Now you look at it with Patrick Mahomes and say, if he can get him the football more, and if he can be more accurate than what Tyreek Hill's giving him credit for, then maybe you have that replacement. But again, a maybe doesn't earn you the best wide receiver course. So I will say you're right on the ceiling thing. He played under Scantling was under Devontae Adams. So how much does that change? But I still don't think the Chiefs right now, as it sits, have the worst wide receiver core, which is a bad sign for Patrick Mahomes. That still doesn't mean they're going to be a bad offense. I just think Mahomes is going to spread it out a lot more.
Well, and something that I like about Scantling is that he shows a lot of similarity in the sense of Tyreek Hill, in the sense that what he does is yards after catch. That's where he shines. And I think it's going to be a true testament to Patrick Mahomes, essentially, having arguably the worst.
Oh, I think this is going to be a big, I don't want to say prove it. Mahomes has nothing to prove.
Right.
But if he can go out and put together monster numbers like he always does, there's going to be a drop. But if he's close, you're going to step back and go, that guy's a Peyton Manning type guy. He just makes people better. He makes average receivers look like they're really good.
Well, and what I find intriguing is that both the Broncos and the Chiefs, any three of their receivers could be their number one. There's no set number one, in my opinion.
And let's not forget, I know we got a break soon, but let's not forget Patrick Mahomes. He did look a little more human last year, just a little bit, in certain games, playoff games, and there were certain key games where, again, I know that Bills playoff game, nobody looked human in that game. But I thought there were moments where he just looked a little bit more human than where we're used to. So we'll see. How much does that Tyreek Hill absence affect him? Broncos with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick. And again, to be fair, I look at them kind of the way I look at the Chiefs. I don't look at Cortland Sutton and say, that's a standout top receiver. I said he was on his way. I did 2 years ago. I said, Cortland Sutton's going to be a beast in this league. He gets hurt. The Broncos quarterback carousel continued, and he hasn't got there. Jerry Jeudy, he's been all right. I mean, he just hasn't broken out. I think people are expecting greatness from him. So, the expectations are so high for him. And then Tim Patrick. They're fine receivers, but I got them at third. I have the Chiefs at fourth. I have the Broncos at third. Next is a tough one because when you look at the Chargers, look no further than Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Those two guys were both top 10 receivers last year. They are absolute studs. I'm going to give them number two on this list, because you look at the Raiders, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, DeMarcus Robinson. That is a really good trio right there. Devontae Adams is probably number one in the league. We'll see if he takes a drop off with no Rodgers compared to Derek Carr. Hunter Renfrow is a 1,000-yard receiver. You got 2,000 yards at least between those guys. And then DeMarcus Robinson, obviously was a Chief. He was 5 seasons with the Chiefs. He only had 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns. He's not Tyreek Hill. I think he wanted to be Tyreek Hill. He's not. He has to be a different receiver. We'll see if he can do that in this offense. I have Raiders as one, Chargers at two, Broncos at three, Chiefs at four. Disagree? Agree? Go shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. 29 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making a pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
34 minutes after the hour. Okay, Mr. Fantasy, Jades, you're a fantasy. I love fantasy football. I would not call myself great at it. It's mainly just feel. I'm not studying as much as I probably should, but you're a fantasy guy. McLean has a question for you. Since we're talking Trey McBride, David Roddy a little bit, our Method Flow Products poll question is, who's going to have the better pro career, Roddy or McBride? And most are voting on McBride. I guess maybe a tight end is a safer position. I don't know. Maybe you just think Trey McBride is a game changer. It's 54. It's tight, dude. 54% say Trey McBride. 45% say David Roddy.
I mean, both of them are going to be respectable either way.
Well, I don't know that. I'm actually a little blown away at how good Roddy's summer league has been. You know, I know it's summer league and all that stuff, but still, it's been fun to see it.
Yeah, super happy for the guy, yeah. Bottom line.
We've got to try to get him on. I mean, he's too busy for us now. My goodness. Crazy Carl's getting more of that money. we got some cool stuff coming up with Crazy Carl's, too, so I'm excited about that. We'll get to the announcements. But McLean has a fantasy football question. Brady, should I draft Trey McBride in my dynasty fantasy football league? Tight ends get 2 points per reception in this league. Is he going to be a top receiving tight end in a few years?
So let's break it down. A dynasty league.
Yeah,
what
is that?
That's just one that you keep your team. It kind of depends how drafts work.
So I draft a team. I join this league. I draft my team. And that's my team next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to add.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a draft still?
Yep. It's like you pretty much just draft on the rookies. It's like,
oh, so you just draft rookies. So mm-hmm. It's a rookie fantasy draft.
Yeah.
Do you have to drop players to make room and stuff, or?
It's just kind of dependent.
Sounds kind of fun, actually.
It is super cool. It's kind of just league-to-league based. I mean,
can you trade guys and do all
that
stuff?
Yeah.
I kind of like that because I always like when I have a good draft, I'm like, I just want to keep these dudes. The question is Trey McBride, let's just break it down. Is he going to be a top receiving tight end in a few years, which would make sense for a dynasty? So you draft Trey McBride in your rookie draft or whatever. Do you think that Trey McBride's going to be, first off, you have to ask the question, is he number one on his team? No. Zach Ertz is number one. Zach Ertz is 31. He had 50-some receptions last year. I played in, 11 games? I don't think he's played a full season, like 3 seasons. So the first question is, can Trey McBride overtake number one at some point in the next 2 years for Arizona?
I think it's possible. It kind of depends. For me personally, it kind of be dependent on what my tight end situation is looking like. If you have a couple of years to spare, go for it. I mean, you see that they utilize Zach Ertz. 50 receptions isn't bad. And then you also see that you have a running quarterback. I mean, they like to dump off whether or not
he's going to use his tight end.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And Kyler Murray, his longevity with Arizona is unknown right now. But I personally would draft Trey McBride.
Well, I look at McBride and I see a catch, just a reception monster.
No, and
we don't know about tight ends because freaking Steve Adazio didn't know how to use him in the red zone. So I want to say that he's probably pretty good in the red zone, but we didn't get to see that because McBride's always been pretty good, but last year was his NFL tryout. Last year was it. And what we saw was, guy's going to catch anything you throw at him. Guy is tough. He's going to get yards. He's going to get yak. He's going to move. He blocks really well, so he's going to be a like guys. That's a karma thing. You block well for your guys, they're going to look for you and get you more receptions. He has a running quarterback. I think Trey McBride's probably going to be a big-time producer in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's known to be a catcher. I mean, he's a receiver, essentially. Will he be as good as Travis Kelce in that sense?
No. I don't think he's going to be that kind of, maybe. You know, when you look at the top tight ends in this league, I mean, you can't just go right to, oh, he's going to be Travis Kelce. I think that then you just get a little too carried away. But when you look at some of the tight ends, could he be like a TJ Hockenson for Detroit? Just a tough-bodied guy. Probably not going to get a lot of touchdowns, but he's going to get you 60-plus receptions. He's tough.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect analogy to what he can be. I think he's – I mean, if it's a two points per reception league, that's really good. You want to have a guy with high volume.
Yeah, he's not. I don't see him being a Kelce or a Darren Waller. No. Even, and that doesn't mean he won't be a better tight end than a Darren Waller someday. there's a lot of ways to be a top tight end. Kelsey's more of a receiver.
Right.
Can Trey McBride be more of a traditional tight end? Like Mark Andrews, when he started, wasn't like a Travis Kelsey guy. But now look at him. Lamar Jackson loves Mark Andrews. 107 receptions last year for him.
I wouldn't be shocked if Mark Andrews finishes with more fantasy points than Kelsey this year.
And Andrews is like not the obvious wide receiver slash tight end either. Like, he's becoming that now, but he wasn't 2-3 years ago. Now he's that guy.
Yeah, he's built like Gronk. Like, he's big and slow.
Yeah, but he can block. You know, he could do a little bit of everything. All right, 40 minutes after the hour, Jace, we got to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Forty-five minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Yes, near broke. We are still rocking and rolling, getting ready for hour three. Not yet. Coming up August 1st, we're going to be moving the show from 11. We're going to go at 11 o'clock, 11 to 2 o'clock every day. Clark and the coach will be moving to 10 o'clock. And the Good Morning NoCo, they're going to be going 4 hours. 4 hours of those gentlemen talking about Rockies buses and who knows what else. Love that show. Love what they're doing. Love it here, man. We're going to be tight chain here, live and local, 6 o'clock to 2 o'clock every single weekday. And perfect timing, because when we get into August, dude, that's when magic happens. That's just when it goes crazy. Because we're going to have football. A lot of football. College football, high school football. We'll get our prep season rolling again. 13 days, 13 teams. We're going to be the NoCo voice of the Broncos. Westwood One's coverage of the NFL. Well, the voice of the UNC Bears, Blake Olsen and Aaron Rath getting at it on the call. I'm excited, dude. I mean, I'm an overall sports guy, but you know what? It's when football season gets here, it's just different. You know, we get into the top 3-4 months of the year. September, October, November, December. Those are my best. I love it. We're getting there. It's the 15th of July. I understand that. We got All-Star Week next week for baseball. Jades, buckle up for next week, buddy. It's next week is officially the worst week in all of sports outside of the All-Star game.
Yes, because my stat of the day.
Oh, you do. I almost forgot about this. We've been going, you know, I've been COVID brain here. I feel like I'm feeling better as the show goes on, but, you know what? I almost forgot about this. So go on.
Yeah. Well, my stat of the day is exactly what you said. I mean, the worst 2 days of the year, there's no sports at all on the day before the MLB All-Star game and the day after.
What day is the All-Star game?
When is it?
Yeah.
I think it's on.
Is it Saturday? Is it next Saturday? Not this Saturday.
No, it's during the week.
It's during the week? Thursday? Is it Thursday?
I think it's Wednesday.
Okay.
Because the home run derby's on Monday.
Home run derby's on Monday. That's right.
And that's going to be one of the best home run derbies in history, you mark my words.
Actually, I've heard that.
We've got Juan Soto, yeah. Acuna, and the back-to-back champ. Plus Pujols.
It actually is going to be pretty fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. What days are those, the two worst days? So it would be the Thursday and Friday, the following days of the All-Star, after the All-Star game?
No, it's the day before and the day after, so it'd be Monday, Thursday.
Ah, okay. I'm with you now. I'm tracking.
No, Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay. Easy with me. Don't throw out too many different things, Jades. I get confused easily. Yeah, we'll have to come up with something fun for that, because nothing to talk about. But there's plenty to talk about. What am I kidding? Who am I talking about? We got college football. We got conference realignment stuff. We got Broncos training camp is so close. We're continuing with our previews here. We're going to bust into it. Cannot wait. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Short break coming up. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is Dalton Reisner with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Science, COVID, all those things. I don't know why, but we started debating Bill Nye the Science Guy earlier. Thank you for that, Jades. I really appreciate it. Man, thanks for dragging me through this thing today. Now I get 2 days off, and we'll be back and even and hopefully even better on Monday.
Oh, we're going to be rocking on Monday.
Well, I mean, next week is, Jades, that's the calm before the storm. So what we're going to do, we're going to break into NFL previews, college football previews. Obviously, you know me. I'm a Mountain West guy. I'm a Pac-12 guy from what I cover, but how many teams are we going to be able to talk about? Well, they're all there. All the Pac-12 teams are there. Don't worry. We're going to see USC and UCLA next year. Don't worry. So we're going to break into it. If you're the Buffs, you're thinking, how do I go in and make this the best season possible, you know, and set myself up for a big-time position one way or the other? Same with CSU. I mean, if you're a Mountain West team, you're thinking this is the most important season ever. UNC Bears, we're looking at the Big Sky Conference, the FCS level. We got that. Broncos football. I mean, it's going to be huge. So next week, we will dub it the calm before the storm as we get set for Broncos training camp coming up at the end of July. We are almost there. We'll catch up with all of our regular insiders. And don't forget, August 1st, mark it on your calendars, the whole show, gaining an hour. We're going to be starting at 11 o'clock every single day, 11 to 2 o'clock. You'll be able to hear us throughout throughout your lunch. That three-hour window there, we're going to be taking over for you. So should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Taking a break this weekend. I'm going to get fully healed up, and we'll be back at it on a Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.